Well, good evening, everybody. It is the Laker Hockey Show. It's a Tuesday evening at the Antlers on East Portage. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. We're going to be joined soon here by Ashton Calder, the freshman from Sault Ste. Marie, who was a co-rookie of the week this past weekend. He had a goal, a game-winning goal, and an assist, his first two collegiate points in the big game on Friday night. The Lakers, of course, beat Bowling Green State at BG 5-0 on Friday, lost 5-2 on Saturday night. And the really big news coming out of the weekend is the Lakers have moved up into the top 20 in the poll. They are ranked number 20 right now. It's the first time they've been that high since 2016. And a good job by Lake Superior State. They really played well in both those games. The second game, 5-2 was the final score, but that was not indicative of the play in the game. It was a 2-2 tie well into the third period. And the co-rookie of the week with Ashton Calder is Will Cullen, the defenseman from Bowling Green. He had the game-winning goal in that game on Saturday night. And he didn't even dress on Friday night. And I'll tell you what, I've watched a lot of hockey in my life. That kid can play. I don't know why they didn't have him in the lineup on Friday night. He's a good hockey player. He did a good job all the way around. He had a goal and an assist in that 5-2 win over the Lakers. So he and Calder share the Rookie of the Week honors. Lakers are ranked number 20 in the poll. Jared Spooner from Minnesota State was the Offensive Player of the Week. He had 3 goals, 5 points against Ferris State and a sweep there. He's just a sophomore, and their sophomore defenseman, Connor Mackey, was the Defensive Player of the Week from Minnesota State. He had 3 assists and a +5 rating against the Ferris State in those 2 games. Diego Cuglietta from the Lakers was honorable mention among the offensive players of the week. He had a goal and an assist for 2 points and assisted on the game-winning goal scored by Ashton Calder on Friday night. Colin Sackelman was an honorable mention defensive player of the week. He had 2 points, a goal and an assist, was +2, blocked 5 shots, played very, very well for the Lakers. Took some penalties on Saturday night. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. He took 4 of them. I think he might have earned 1 or 2 at the very most. The goaltender of the week was Mark Sinclair from Alabama Huntsville. He played well against the Lakers down in Huntsville. He played really well up in Alaska. The sophomore stopped 44 of 45 shots in a 3-1 win on Friday night. So a huge win right there. First win of the season for the Chargers. And obviously, Sinclair was the main reason. The honorable mention, Nick Kossoff, he had a great Friday night. Stopped all 30 shots he saw in a 5-0 win at Bowling Green State. Lakers got outshot 30-17, but they won the hockey game 5-0. And the co-rookies of the week, again, are Ashton Calder, who's going to join us tonight on the show, and Will Cullen, the defenseman from Bowling Green. And the Lakers, 20th in the nation right now. St. Cloud State's ranked number 1. Minnesota State, Mankato, they're coming in here 2 weeks from now. They're ranked number 3 nationally right now. And Bowling Green slipped from 10 to 12, but still stayed in the top 20. So the WCHA doing okay for itself there. And Damon, a great weekend, really, I thought. Some of the best hockey that I've seen in a long time out of our team. We had a good game against Michigan a couple of weeks ago, but this is definitely a better and an improved version of the Lakers than we've had in recent seasons.
I thought, first of all, great hockey games. I mean, I think those were two really good teams going against each other. You know, when you go down to Bowling Green, you have to be ready to play. They come at you in a lot of different ways, and they're a heavy team and a fast team. And you've seen this year, they've got a much improved offense, and I think they've got a better skating team than they've had in past versions. And if you can handle that, you have to get to Ryan Bednard, who's as good as there is across the country and across the league. So it was a real good game Friday night for us. Obviously, a very complete 60 minutes, and played very well. You know, we didn't give a whole lot up, and really liked our game defensively, including Nick Kossoff pitching a shutout. But in front of him, he had good support, and we didn't give up a whole lot, which is a focus we've had. We went through a little stretch there. We gave up, I think, 13 goals in 3 games. So we want to make sure defensively we're playing at a high level, and we're not giving a lot up. We're going to play a stretch of games here coming up, including Northern Michigan, against teams that don't give up a lot. So you have to match that. You're not going to outscore your mistakes at this level. So we really like Friday night's 60-minute effort. And then, as you mentioned, Saturday wasn't bad either. It was a good hockey game once again. You know they're going to come out after a loss with a ton more fire and jam. I'm sure we'll get into some of the calls you've already mentioned there. And you know what, reffing is what it is. But I think the frustration was the standard wasn't set. There was just so much going on in that game, and I wish early on they would have made a call or two to get a lot of the stick work out and let us play some hockey. But I think 18 minutes and penalties, 10 for us, 8 for them. So it was a ton of special teams, which I don't think people necessarily come to watch. We want to watch guys like Anthony and Ellis play, and Colin Sockman has got 5 goals and Cruz for them. And I just thought it was maybe a little bit of a step back in terms of the prettiness of a game and letting guys play there the way it's been called. So that was something we had to adjust to, and we've got to do a better job. We're taking way too many penalties. We're showing them, we're talking about them, we're borderline ready to start skating guys for them, because at some point the message has to set in that we got to stay out of the penalty box. Our special teams game has been pretty solid on both sides of it, but it's still way too much. So it was a 2-2 game going into the third period. I think they scored with about 11 minutes left to make it 3-2, and then added an empty netter late there. We had our chances and our moments, and early in that game I thought we were really good. I thought we generated a lot of chances, had a lot of opportunities to get an early lead or to go up and then maybe a 2-goal lead, but that's a good hockey team. I think probably the most complete team we've seen all year. Michigan adds some different elements in terms of real high-end players and high draft picks, things like that. But Bowling Green is a real complete team. They bring a really heavy, tough game to play, certainly on the road as well. And when you don't get the matchups, you've got to be really careful with who's going out on the ice and who's going out against Cruz and Bayless and then a lot of other top players like Rauheiser and things like that. So really, like the effort for the most part. We would have liked to, you mentioned a great weekend. It wasn't great because we didn't win 2 hockey games, but it was a good weekend, a real good Friday night, and, a real close one Saturday. But I think, we learn a lot from our team leaving that building and leaving that series. And, some of the conversation we had post-game, and I think Brendan McKay, who you had on last week, brought it up, is that, the margin of error in the difference between teams is so minimal. Whether it's a 10th-ranked team or a team like Fairbanks who came in and hadn't won a game, there's so little room, to not be your best in any given night. And if you're not playing your best, it doesn't matter who it is. They're going to beat you. You're not going to win. And if you play your best, you at least give yourself a chance to have success. And I thought we did that both nights, so that was real positive. But we have to learn. We have to apply that lesson next week and keep improving and keep getting better here.
Yeah, I think it would be a big challenge for players to stay out of the penalty box. I think the officials in this league, we've got a lot of young guys, a lot of first-year officials, a lot of people who were linesmen up until maybe last year and this year are becoming referees now. And I know the WCHA cut back on some things. They don't pay as well as they used to. They cut per diem in half for these people. And a lot of the veterans left. We don't have a Not that I really miss him that much, but Kevin Langseth, for instance, is gone now. Pete Friesma works infrequently. He was up in Alaska this past week. We get a lot of first-year guys refereeing. We had a couple of them here in the Sioux in the Alaska series. I thought they did a pretty good job. They weren't the reason why anything happened in the game. But I really thought Saturday night, Brady Johnson and Bobby Lucassen decided that they're going to call everything they could possibly see, and they missed a lot. I don't know if you looked. I can see you on the bus because you like to look at the game, and you had to see where Nellis got hit from behind in the second period, or when Hampus Erickson was taken down driving to the net in the third period. They're ahead 3-2. He could have tied the game on that play. They didn't call those. They called scrum things along the wall where they would find somebody pushing and shoving and give you a cross-checking penalty.
Well, that's the hard part. You just hope for a consistent call so you know what to expect. I mean, you mentioned Hampus was in all alone. He got kind of hooked and didn't get a shot off, no call. Gage Terrell moments later, same thing. And those are such easy calls. And, they had a couple too. Lucas Kiebel took one. They had a guy going in all alone, and he slashed him, and that's the right call. I like the call, but when it doesn't happen both ways, you can see where the players start to get frustrated and don't understand it. And so, we've got to learn, we've got to handle it. There's a point of emphasis this year where any, hard slash to the hands or stick is supposed to be called. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that standard was set at all on Saturday night. And I actually had a good conversation with our director of league officials, Greg Shepard, and say, Shep, help me out. Like, I'm either a bad coach right now, or we are a little bit off in our standard of calling. And he doesn't want us, changing the way we're coaching. We try to defend stick on puck and the way the rules are written. And you got to hope the officials call it by the book. And if not, you have to adjust. And then if they're calling it tight, you have to adjust. So it happens. It is what it is. I mean, I think there's some nights are really good, some nights are off, just like our hockey players or just like myself. So it's a really tough position to evaluate and go in. But I didn't like Saturday. 18 calls, like you said, some of the real blatant ones weren't called and some of the ticky-tack were. So let us play, and that's where you saw some frustration among both teams. The guys want to play, and they want to play 5-on-5 for the most part, unless it's you take away a scoring chance. So we have to learn from it. We have to be better. We can't be going to the box 10 times a night. And we've addressed it pretty heavily this week already, and if we don't see a real quick adjustment from our players, and we've got to find a way to be even a lot harder on it. And next Monday we'll be skating real hard if we have a parade to the penalty box like that.
Well, you got 10 power plays for Bowling Green on Saturday night, 8 for Lake Superior State. Each team had 9 shots on goal in all the power plays, so it was even there, and you had a chance to score. You could have scored some power play mm-hmm. goals, might have made a difference in the game, but and it's just too many penalties, and it disrupts the flow of the game. I talked to Anthony Nellis after the game Saturday night. He was really frustrated. He just said, why don't they just let us play? We're all big men. We can all play. We can get through the little chippy stuff. None of that stuff is going to bother any of us, them or us. We just want to play the game. Instead, it's box. You got the power play. You got the PK. And it wears people out, and you get a guy like I watched very carefully there on Saturday night. Guys like Melvin Carlson, who needs to play, sees very little action because he doesn't kill penalties. Teams. He's not on the power play. Yeah, he's a freshman. But, even Calder, the kid who's going to be in here tonight, he didn't play as much as he could have.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's really tough for your bench, and you certainly have guys like that. If you're not on special teams in a game like that, you're not seeing the ice and – have fun trying to get in a rhythm or feel confident about going out when you don't know when your shift is coming. So, it's not fun. I thought watching the game back, I thought Anthony was really targeted, and he's played at such a high level, and, people around the league recognize that, and he stands out on film because of how well he's playing. And anytime he touched the puck, it was slash to the stick. So, you come to watch guys like Anthony Nellis. You don't come to watch somebody two-hand in or chip a puck in or whatever. So I think, even there's going to be nights, where we're out talented and there's great teams and great players coming in. But, I think Loggins and Parker Toomey and Anthony Nellis, guys like that should be protected. We want a skilled game. You watch the NHL right now. Everybody loves watching NHL. It's so fast. It's so skilled. And there are automatic calls there. So I do think we can clean it up. I think as a league, we'd like to see that call a little bit tighter. I think most coaches feel the same way. I think there's a couple that maybe feel talent-wise that they don't match up as well, that they don't mind that loose interpretation. But, and that's always a balance too. Some coaches are fighting, they want it called. Some coaches are complaining they don't want it called. And we got to manage that out. But when you looked around, I know we looked at some box scores from around the nation afterwards, and you saw a couple Big Ten games, and some teams went 0-for-3 or 1-for-3 and 1-for-4, and a lot more 5-on-5 play. And again, I just thought if the standard would have been set early, both teams adjust, and then you play hockey, call one or two early, and then the guys learn real quick that you can't get away with it on that given night. So it is what it is. You got to play through it, and they do a real good job some nights, and there's some nights they're off.
Yeah, you got two teams here, pretty physical. They both skate well. I thought Lake Superior was right dead even with Bowling Green all weekend. We hit with them. We did everything. If I were Greg Shepherd, I'd be embarrassed to look at the sheet when I saw it come in, and I see Lake Superior 0-for-8 and Bowling Green 1-for-10 on the power play. I'd say, what's going on here? I'd be having to talk with the two of them.
Well, you won't find me defending refs very often, but, some of them were calls. Ashton gave the refs, I thought it was a light call. Like you said, it's ticky-tack, but, he gave the ref to make a call. One a call on Sockerman's along the wall. He hit a guy in the numbers, and same thing the other way. One of Steven Ruggiero's was a call, and was it a great call? No, but you give the refs a chance to make a call, and for a big, heavy team, I thought at times, they did go down a little bit easy to draw some of those calls. That's what a smart hockey player does. And again, I don't like to coach our guys to dive and to sell calls, but if it's going to go like that, I'm a bad coach and we're a bad coaching staff if we're not going to teach our guys to do that when the other teams are doing that. So, you know, we have to adjust, and we're going to have those conversations with our players, with the league staff, to make sure we have a clear understanding of the way the intent is supposed to be and what they're going to call. And when we don't do it, you know, we'll have to make that adjustment.
Well, we've got a great crowd with us here tonight at the Antlers, and we're going to take a break here on our hockey show. We'll come back in just a moment. We'll talk about the Wildcats coming into town. We'll be right back with more from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back on a Tuesday night, and the Laker Hockey Show, Bill Crawford and Damon Witten in here, and we've got a good crowd on hand tonight. Northern Michigan coming in this weekend. The Wildcats are a team that's tied for first place right now, along with Michigan Tech and Minnesota State. The Lakers are 2 points back at 10 points, and Bowling Green's kind of in between there with 11, but standing's tight at the top, but it's really nice to be in this position. And Northern Michigan presents something a little bit different maybe than Bowling Green. They aren't as big and heavy perhaps, but they've got tremendous goaltending. And they got one line there that's very, very good with a couple of guys who can score.
Yeah, it's been interesting to, you know, to kind of see them. They're coming off a tremendous season. And then Grant's first year over there did a great job. And you know, a couple of those guys, Loggins, Rockwood, Tolvanen, Ballou, you know, a lot of recognition both within the league and nationally. And, you know, they haven't been quite to that level this year, but they're an extremely dangerous team, and they've got a ton of talent on that team, as you kind of alluded to, I think, beyond that one line, but those guys in particular. So you definitely notice those guys on film. Ballou's a very active defenseman and a guy that, you know, we've seen a lot of good defensemen this year, and there's another one that you have to mark and check and be good against. Rockwood and Loggins were an unbelievable combination last year, and they're off to a, you know, a good start. Maybe not the level they were last year, but again, they're guys who have done it at our level. They can break out at any moment, so you know, we'll have to be careful in our matchups, and again, mark those guys well. They're Ballou and Loggins, both very dangerous on the power play as well. They're tremendous shooters, and they look to get everything to the net there, and so again, we'll have to be sharp through there. You know, you mentioned Tolvanen. I think that's certainly a place you want to start with this Northern Michigan team. It seems like he's been in college for 10 years. You know, he's a senior, obviously, finally, and thankfully, I think a lot of us will be very glad to see him graduate and move on. You know, he's been an elite goaltender for really all four of those years, and battled a little injuries at some point of his career, but very experienced, very controlled, doesn't get beat often on the first shot. You know, we'll have to be prepared to make some adjustments about how we approach our offensive attack because of what he brings and the challenges he brings to the team, and what he provides for Northern Michigan. So those are certainly a couple of the pieces that you have to be very alert to. And as you mentioned, a little bit different makeup than Bowling Green. They come off the Olympic sheet, so they're built a little bit differently than Bowling Green are, or, you know, that team is. But some of the same challenges, you know, they really want to come after you. Watching their last couple of games, Cornell and Anchorage and Bowling Green, they've been very tested this year. They played a great schedule, and they're going to come. You know, they're pressing a little bit, trying to get things going a little bit better, and a little bit like Bowling Green that way, and that you can use some of that, you know, how aggressive they are against them. If we manage pucks well and are prepared for that, we can hopefully utilize that to counterattack on them and provide some offense for our team.
Yeah, Northern Michigan over the years has been a team that kind of, when Walt Kyle was coaching them, they would kind of lay in the weeds in the first half of the season. They would not play at a real high level. They'd come in here, we'd win two, we'd split with them, whatever. Second half of the season, they'd come on really strong, and they were always good. They did that last year too, except they were pretty consistent throughout the season. And you're going to have to play really well against them this weekend. But, you know, after last weekend, I think the Lakers have learned a lot about themselves too. And this is a much better hockey team, executes very well. Is it by design that the defensive core on the Lakers is really, it's kind of like an NHL effort? A lot of guys getting up on the play. We got Colin Sackleman has 5 goals right now. That's the second most on our team, and he's a defensive defenseman. Ruggiero's got a couple of goals. Will Rydell got his second of the night on Friday, or second of the season on Friday night. Got a lot of people joining the attack now. Nordquist is a great example of that. He may not score a lot of goals, but he sets quite a few up, and
yeah, I think
really
it's 9 points.
Different offensive attack style.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, it's like you said, an NHL style. When you watch the game, that's the way the game's being played, and teams defend so well, and, you know, everybody's so well coached and scouted that You do have to find ways to create second chance opportunities and add, different numbers into the rush or into the offensive zone. So we've played that way for a couple of years, and I think people have taken notice of that a little bit. And now we're, I've got a little bit more experience in some ways back there. We're probably a little bit better suited to play that way in terms of the type of defense we've tried to recruit. So yes, it's certainly by design. And like I said, give credit to those guys. Colin Sockman's done a great job. He's sitting at 5 goals right now. Nordqvist 9 points. I think Lucas Kybel's at 7 or 8 as well, and Will Rydell is now at 4 points with 2 goals. So those guys have done a good job. But yeah, certainly by design, and certainly recruit. Trying to find that mobile defenseman who has a good skill set, good stick. Sometimes you give up some defending a little bit, but if you can skate well and you have a good stick, you don't have to defend as much. And that's part of our philosophy as well. We want to defend quick and transition pucks and get out of our zone and then activate our defenseman up ice. So yes, by design, and our guys are doing a really good job early on of making those reads and having success.
We kind of mixed up the lines a little bit on Bowling Green on the weekend too. We really threw a different look altogether on Friday night, and you kind of stuck with that, and then you mixed around a little bit again on Saturday night. One of the questions we have tonight from our fans who are here is, will we see a little bit more radical line juggling like we did last weekend, this weekend against Northern Michigan?
Well, I think, as a lot of you who listen regularly know, we talked a lot early on that we kind of had, two lines that had a lot of experience. Nellis, Hampus, Terrell, we're two seniors playing there with a sophomore who played, I think, every game last year, and Hampus maybe missed one or two. And then you had a senior in Diego with Humitz and Gelsinger, so a senior and two juniors. And then we had a line of three freshmen, and then and a line, I think, of a couple sophomores, and maybe depending who was in, a freshman or junior. So, we said for a long time, those guys finished the year together. They liked playing together, and we were going to give them some rope and some opportunities to play together. They played well. It wasn't as if they weren't playing well, but we were going into the road against a top 10 ranked team, and we were concerned about not getting the matchups, being the visiting team. If we had enough experience and a good enough mix in some places depth wise to be successful. So that predicated a little bit, along with obviously the loss against Fairbanks, gave us the kind of opportunity to finally maybe tinker a little bit because we had played so well and guys were playing well. So that gave us an opening to make some adjustments. I think now we are a little bit more balanced through our top four lines or throughout our lineup, and I'm not sure you can look there and say, hey, there's a clear cut one and two. There may be a little bit of a fourth line that hasn't had the track record of success or past experience at the Division I level. But our other three lines are all mixed pretty well with experienced players, with guys who have produced at our level. And so there's a little bit better balance in depth spread out there that way. So I think we'll roll with this for a little bit here and see how guys play. We had some interesting meetings over the last day or two with guys coming in and asking, hey, what do I need to do for a bigger role, or what do I need to do to get back in the lineup for some of those guys who have come out? And it's interesting because you tell these guys individually, this is where maybe your game has fallen off, or this is where you need to improve. But it's not just about that guy as an individual living in a bubble. There's another guy that has a say in that. The guy who went in for you, how did he play? And the other guy who's fighting for that spot. So, we're trying to maximize and hold each guy accountable and develop them to the fullest level and pull for them to get back in and get another opportunity. But it doesn't mean we're not doing it for player B or player C or player D. So, these things don't happen in a bubble. So if you've worked your way into an equation where we've talked about taking you out of the lineup, or we take you out of the lineup, that's a risk because a guy going in for you is so desperate to stay in there and to play at such a high level that he doesn't get in that conversation. So it's a really competitive situation, by far the most competitive situation we've had in my time here. And it makes for an interesting dynamic in the locker room, but really good decisions and really hard decisions by the staff. And you want to play at such a level that you don't ever get in that conversation. And one of the guys who came in today, one of our junior forwards, that was it. We haven't talked about you at all, about potentially coming out of the lineup, and that's one of your challenges. He wants more, he wants a bigger role. But you better make sure you know, it doesn't change, and we're tinkering with maybe bringing you out because that might be your opportunity. That guy who goes in, if he plays so well, you know, it might be tough for you to get back in. And we've got a couple guys there that now want to get back in, and we've got some guys that are desperate to not let go of the opportunity they've got. So it's an interesting dynamic as it evolves, and you know, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a good problem for the coaching staff to have. It's not such a great problem for the players to have. But, you know, Pete Vilette's going to come back here pretty soon. He's been injured. He's been out with lower body injury for a couple of weeks now. And good-looking young freshman, can really skate, handles a puck well, on the power play, on the point. This is a guy who's probably going to demand to come back in, and he's probably going to get a chance to come back in, and somebody else is going to have to move out. And the other one I look at is, I've been really impressed with Alex Amandel. I mean, he's done a great job. Here's a tough weekend at Bowling Green. He's a big kid. He can handle himself. He can skate well. Didn't take any penalties that I can think of on the weekend, which is rare on RD on the weekend. But he did a good job. He moved the puck along the wall. He covers up well. He skates well. It's going to be tough to take him out.
Yeah, no question. And you know, on paper, that was probably one of my questions going in. You know, how would Alec respond to a team that comes after you? Not only with pace, but a real physical effort and physical game. And I thought it was really good. He handled it well. You mentioned his skating. You know, he broke pucks out because he can win foot races even at 6'1", 6'2". He handled the physical play, you know, again, a little bit better than I thought as a freshman, as a guy just, you know, adjusting to our game for the most part. So, again, we've got depth there. I think most past years we were dressing seven defensemen most nights. And, you know, I'd like to get back to dressing seven defensemen because we've got guys who can play there as well. But our forward depth is the way it is. And, you know, we're trying to find ways to get guys in the lineup. So it's a really good problem to have. It can become challenging for some guys, keeping them positive and keeping them, you know, competing for those spots. It's difficult. You know, everybody obviously wants to play and thinks they can play and help. And, you know, they want to dress on Friday, Saturday night. So we're trying to show some guys their value to the team if they're not dressing and, you know, trying to find some opportunities to get some guys in the lineup as well.
All right, we got lots more to talk about here tonight. We're going to move Ashton Calder in the next segment of this show and talk to the freshman from Sault Ste. Marie about his weekend and his season thus far. But we'll take a break. We'll be back to the Antlers. Damon Witten, Bill Crawford, Matt Pocketall here on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back for segment three of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night, and moving in with us now is Laker freshman Ashton Calder. And Ashton's no stranger to Sault Ste. Marie. He grew up here, and he's from here, and probably always wanted to play for the Lakers. But even stranger than that is he's right back where he works all summer, too, because he's employed here at the Antlers as a waiter all summer. So he's right back at home in more ways than one. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, good job on the weekend. You scored your first collegiate goal. You picked up your first 2 points. I think you probably kind of like playing with the senior at center and the senior on the other wing. It's a little bit different than trying to go at it with a couple of other rookies as you have been thus far this season, and it paid off well for you. And you are co-rookie of the week along with Cullen, the defenseman from Bowling Green, and congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
How about your start so far this season? Are you pretty happy with how things are going at Lake Superior State, both as a player and as a student?
Yeah, things are going great. I mean, I'm adjusting pretty well in the classroom. Just a learning experience so far, kind of on the ice and just getting better every day. And so far, it's been good.
Now, how long were you out of high school before you came back and got back into the groove? Because sometimes guys have trouble. They play junior hockey, and I know you were in the USHL last year. Were you going to school at all? Did you take any classes?
No, I didn't take any classes. I was about 2 years out of high school, and then this is my third year.
So you're back, and you fit right in. You don't have any trouble with it. What are you majoring in at this point?
Finance and econ, and not much problems.
No, we have a lot of players who are business majors at on the hockey team. It kind of fits in a little bit better with practice, I think, than some of the other majors do. Talk a little bit about the hockey end of it at this point. A big win on Friday night. You had a big win earlier in your first year here against Michigan. Those have to be really exciting for a first-year player.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Something I'll definitely remember, especially that first game against Michigan. That was a big game for us. We played really well, and take down a team like that is always a good time.
Now, is it put any extra pressure on you to play in your hometown at all? Do you have a lot of friends that you knew in high school, et cetera, or that you knew earlier in your life that come out to watch you play?
Yeah, I got a lot of people that I know that from high school and from the community that come and watch me, but I don't really feel as much of a pressure from it. It's just kind of nice to finally come home and play in front of the people I used to before.
Yeah, now I remember you did play AAA here too. How many years did you play at AAA for the Indians team?
I played a year and a half. I
Yeah.
joined halfway through my first year.
Yeah. And what was that experience like in trying to get you ready to play at the Division I level? Did it help?
Yeah, it definitely helped. So I was pretty young. I was playing U18 and some older, bigger guys, kind of like now in college. And it was good, kind of similar things there because I was playing against older guys. They're stronger, same as here, and a little bit to get used to at first, and then I kind of got used to it. And yeah, just came here.
Yeah, you seem to handle yourself pretty well physically, though. That hasn't been a difficulty for you. You've taken a few penalties this year coming back at somebody, and you've hauled a couple guys down here and there. I don't think the physical end of the game bothers you at all.
No, I don't feel like it's a big problem. Just like you said, just trying to get stronger every day.
Yeah, and there's a lot of weight room work here. How's Nate Williams doing? Has that been good for you?
Nate's doing a great job. He's very knowledgeable in what he does, and is very helpful to our team, I feel like.
Yeah, I think we've had some pretty good strength people over the years. Nate may be one of the better ones we've had, and it's amazing how we can get these people to come in here. They're basically padding a resume. We don't pay them really, really well, so they're learning themselves and making a name. But he's done a good job. I've been kind of paying attention to what he does. Talk a little bit about that end of things. How often do the players on this team go to the weight room in a week during the season? And how about before the season and then maybe after the season, what it'll be like then? It's a much heavier weight room schedule when you're not playing than it is when you are playing.
Yeah, so some people are kind of different. Personally, like I like to do my like most of my harder training in off season, but during the season we all are obviously on the same plan because we're on the same team, and we are in the weight room 4 5 times a week, just depending on how the week's going. And then other summers, kind of same things, just trying to maintain and get even stronger.
You know, I think that's something that's really become commonplace in the game now. I think no matter what level you play, major, junior A, the USHL probably, weight training's a big part of it. Back in the 1980s, I think Frank Anzalone here at Lake Superior was way ahead of the curve on a lot of these things with plyometrics and things that everybody does now. And now everybody's decided, hey, the Lakers were pretty strong in the 80s and won. We got to be like that. And everybody's like that.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's a new style of game. Everybody's working on. Everybody's trying to work harder than the next person next to them to get to a higher level. So pretty soon that turns into everybody's working out, 6 times, 5 times a week, and that's just how the game is now.
Well, you know, we just talked, Coach Witten was just talking about how this lineup right now, it's very difficult to get into it. And it's, you know, you got it's sometimes it's easier to get out of a lineup than it is to get into it. And you got to continue to play really well. How does it help you? Like this past weekend, obviously it was a better situation for you. You scored right away in the first period of the game and did a good job all weekend. It had to be a little bit more relaxing for you as a freshman to be out there with Diego Cuglietta and Gage Terrell.
Yeah, they're good players. Obviously, they're senior captains. They have a lot of experience. That was a big thing because obviously they're still a little timid to the game as it goes on, but they have a lot of experience. They're cool and calm, and they're just good players to play with.
Now, what's it like on the bench these days, too? You're talking leadership people here. Diego Cuglietta is a man of very few words. He's not a big talker. Gage, he can get going sometimes if he wants to. He gets a little overexcited, maybe. But those guys are the leadership people, and there are some others there who can chip in and do that as well. I'm thinking of Sackleman, who's a man with boys sometimes. It's really good on that bench, isn't it?
Yeah, the leadership's great. They're just really helpful with us freshmen, especially getting us in like involved with the team, making us feel like secluded or anything like that. And it's really nice so far.
Yeah, and there are a lot of freshmen on this team, and
Yeah.
there are people who are going to come and go and get into the lineup and go out of the lineup, et cetera. What's the best thing do you think about your game? What do you bring to the Lakers that you think you can become even better at?
I just try. I'm just looking at it, I try to just do my best out there. I bring obviously size. I'm a pretty big kid for my age, and we have a lot of bigger team too, which helps. But I just like to try making plays when I can, and then just try and work hard.
Yeah, now last year in Lincoln, you were, you know, you're a veteran player at that level at this point. You probably played power play and did some penalty killing, et cetera. And What kind of year was it for you there, and how did that prepare you to come to Lake Superior State?
It was a great year for me. It started out pretty well, and then I just got a lot more experience playing there. Like I met some new people, that was awesome. And then my coaching staff helped me a lot and teach me a little bit more on the systematic side of things there, because everything was really systematic there. And this helped me a lot for the future, obviously, because college is pretty the same way.
Yeah, I was going to ask you next, what's the difference when you come to college? There's a lot of video being used, a lot of teaching going on. I don't think Damon Whitten goes into the locker room and yells and screams and throws things around too much, but he does show you a lot of things. And how's that been for Ashton Calder? Is it helping you?
Yeah, it's helped me a lot, especially like the way I like to learn. I like to learn individually and like individual video sessions, stuff like that. And that's another thing that we did a lot last year and this year, is like they can pull certain shifts and stuff like that and show you what you did and what you could do better at and stuff like that. So it's definitely a good thing.
Now, how about Mike York? How involved does he get with that? And I think of Mike because he was a tremendous college hockey player, played 15 years of pro hockey after that. He's got a lot to offer, and yet he's a guy who doesn't really talk a whole heck of a lot. Does he come and talk to you guys individually about things and maybe help you out with various things?
Mike's the same thing as Coach Damon. They both pull aside certain times and show us a couple of clips here and there about certain stuff in whatever zones, and help us just tighten up our game a little bit more for the next game.
Yeah, as you sit on the bench and you're watching power play and PK and all that sort of thing, since you don't get involved too much in that right now, you're watching carefully so that when it's your turn, you're going to be able to jump in there and do those things?
Obviously just watching the game on the bench, but I don't really think about that too much.
Yeah, well, that's good. Hey, we appreciate you being here tonight, Ashton. Congratulations again on Co-Rookie of the Week honors. And, keep up the good work. You got a tough one coming up this weekend. Do you know any of the people on this Northern Michigan team? Maybe a Denver Pierce, for instance?
Yeah, I know Denver for sure.
Yeah, so you're looking forward to playing the Wildcats this weekend, two games?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It'll be a good game.
All right, it should be two good games this weekend, 7 o'clock both nights, Friday and Saturday. We'll let Ashton get out of here. We'll move the head coach back in again. And, Ashton, thanks very much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All righty, Ashton Calder, the Laker freshman winger. We'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show right after this on ESPN 1400. Well, our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show tonight, Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten moving back in, and we've got a couple of questions that we didn't get to from our audience here tonight at the show. Damon, what's your philosophy on whether to carry the puck into the zone or shoot it in and chase it? What do you think?
Well, puck possession is important in today's game, so if you can possess it, that's certainly what you'd like to do. And I think that's where you've seen some of our defensemen have good seasons early on, because we've been able to possess pucks on zone entries and making some plays off of that. So yeah, you definitely want to possess it when possible, but obviously you're going against a lot of well-coached teams, and most teams play a lot of structure these days, so it's not easy to gain zone entry. But yeah, if we can do it, we'd love to have it.
Yeah, and you don't worry too much about, this team has played pretty well. The forwards are always involved. They may not score every game. Like Friday night's game, we win 5-0, but three defensemen score goals for us in that game. But I thought it was a great game for a lot of the guys up front. I thought Humitz was really good. He had two assists. He did what you got to do to be a good hockey player. He took a hit in the neutral zone one time, just got crushed along the wall, but got the puck over, and Kybel goes in and scores a goal. Makes it 3-0.
Well, especially against a team, the way Bowling Green plays, there's a lot of that in that game, and that was certainly a big teaching point for us all weekend long. They want to bring their D right down aggressively, and they look to finish checks all night long. So when our wingers got it, we wanted to step off the wall, get off the boards a little bit, and chip pucks behind them. And, our weak side wing slashes across into possession, and then your D have to beat guys up ice. So that was a perfect example of it. And like you said, Max is a coach's dream. He just plays. It doesn't matter who you play him with or what's going on outside or, wherever else. He's a hockey junkie. He's a great student. And, he'll show up and play no matter where he's at or what's going on in any situation. So, he's playing well. We got a lot of guys in that, mm-hmm. I don't know, from 12 to 8 points, 6, 7 guys that have all played well, and I think there's guys that can keep going. Ashton getting off a couple of points this weekend against a really good opponent on the road is really important for him. You mentioned Pete early in the show. Getting Pete back will add a real good hockey player who can play with a lot of pace, who's got skill and poise, will make us a better team as well. So it's a real fun group, and our leaders that we talked a ton about have done a really, really good job. We've spent some time obviously with the ranking coming out as well, that it doesn't matter. We need to get better and learn our lessons game to game, and have a just a everyday approach to come in and improve. And they've done a really good job of holding each other accountable and doing that. So it's been a real enjoyable group so far, and now it's just another great chance. It's a kind of an interesting week with the holiday and no school and things like that. We get a chance to help out with United Way tomorrow and help those in need in our community. And then obviously there's only the two with Ashton and Chase Gamblin, our only two local boys who will get to be with their families, but a lot of our American kids will be away from home for the holiday, and then a lot of our international kids will get to experience an American Thanksgiving. So a lot of the people sitting here tonight with us and listening will invite our players into their families, and we appreciate them taking care of our kids on the holiday here, and just a chance to really think about how fortunate we are and all the things we're thankful for. And a lot of people might not have some of the blessings we have in this room or our players, and so well, a little chance to enjoy it and then think a little bit more big picture this week as well.
Yeah, we've got Northern Michigan coming into town on Friday and Saturday nights. 2 weeks from now, it's Minnesota State, and I know the coaching staff doesn't look ahead or anything, but I think the fans do, and they're looking forward to this. Two straight weekends at home. We won't have students in the building this weekend for the most part, only the locals, because everybody will be gone for Thanksgiving. That's one of those unfortunate quirks in the schedule, and there'll be a lot of people who will ask, well, why would you play at home on Thanksgiving? Well, it's like world be free. Let's play all our games at home. But you gotta go with the schedule sometimes. We do get to protect a weekend or two during the season, but it's not Thanksgiving we choose to protect. So we're going to play against Northern in front of a little bit limited crowd. And that's one of the questions tonight is, will the boys be up to play when there's not going to be a tremendous crowd in the building, probably?
Yeah, well, and it's a good question. And I think, that was coming off that Michigan weekend. And we addressed it Monday morning after Great Lakes State weekend. We thought it'd be important to kind of address, obviously, those crowds for that weekend and that team coming up were tremendous. And, we knew there'd be a little bit of, less of a crowd, and we want to let our guys know that. And so, it's a maturity point. We have to grow, no matter what the situation is. We're going to go up to Anchorage in a couple of weeks, and there won't be many people in that building. And so, you never know who's there on that night. And as Brendan McKay talked about with the team, the line is so fine between winning games and losing games. So we've got to find a way to make sure we have energy within our bench and within our locker room, regardless of what goes on. Missing our students, they bring a lot of energy to our building. And so that's going to change it just alone, not having students on campus. So it's just going to have a different vibe and different feel for it. So it's something we have to be prepared for. Like you said, we don't control all aspects of the schedule. And then we've got some certain dates we've got to protect or look at and be cognizant of with the non-conference games. And everybody deals with it at different points of a particular season or maybe the next season. So, we've got to worry about ourselves and come out and play hockey. I know we'll have, our loyal fans there, and we appreciate that support. It'd be nice if it was, the 35 or 38 or 39 every night, 3,900, but some nights it can't be, and we've got to show up and play hockey.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting this weekend. Northern Michigan's very good. If you're listening in and you want to see some good Division I ice hockey, this weekend's the weekend. Northern's a good team, and then 2 weeks from now it'll be even a better team coming in Minnesota State. One of the real positive parts to the game this year, I think, are faceoffs. Diego Cuglietta is probably our premier faceoff man, but we've got some other guys who've done really well taking faceoffs this year. They're winning more than they're losing. I looked at the sheet after the game on Saturday night. There's Brendan McKay, 5-1 in the faceoff circle. I thought he did a really good job both games. One thing he brings to the team is leadership, great camaraderie with everybody else. He's not the greatest skater in the world, but he's become a lot better at that than he used to be, and he's a heavy checker. I think he's been a real positive force for Lake Superior State.
Well, no question. And Brendan had an unbelievable summer, really rededicated himself. He stayed here all summer, and him engaged Terrell, and really just put the time in to give himself a chance to earn a bigger role. And he's taking advantage of that now. And he's one of those guys we talked about earlier in the show about how some guys come in and, hey, coach, how can I play more? What do you need from me? What can I do? And he was kind of dressing as their 13th forward for a while. And this past weekend, he was more of a fixture down the middle and played really well. And as you mentioned, you know, winning faceoffs is a really important part of the game. If you can start with possession, you know, in the D zone to get out of your zone clean, and the O zone to go on the attack and possess pucks, is so important and so critical. And we've been good as a team, as you mentioned. Brendan's done a good job that way. You know, he's a heavy player. He's a smart player. You know, by heavy, it's a puck protection. He hangs on to pucks and he makes good plays with it that way. So, you know, we need him to continue to play well and get better and keep growing his game. But he's done a good job. You know, he's a guy that's now has built his role and earned that opportunity through hard work in the summer and in season now. And now it's up to him to not let go. You know, he can't take a step back. He's got to stay desperate. He's got to stay hungry and keep earning those minutes.
Yeah, because it's tough. Where's some good players? I'm thinking of Miroslav Muka. To me, that guy should be in a lineup probably a little bit more than he is. He scored 30 goals in junior last year, but in practices, et cetera, and the few chances he's had to play, other players have outdone him, I guess, because he's not in there. And you're going to get Pete Vialette back. What's the schedule on that? Is he ready to play this weekend, or will it be a couple weeks yet, or what?
Well, yeah, and it'll be close. I think he's going to have a chance potentially to go this weekend. So we're kind of monitoring that day to day. You know, kind of had good news today on that, and he's feeling good. So we're hoping he'll continue to progress well. Yeah, and you mentioned Miro. You know, guys like Ian Johnston. You know, we've got to find a chance to play some guys. I wish it was pro hockey and you had 80 some games, and we don't have that luxury. You know, so. So we do have guys that, you know, we want to play, and Miro is one of those guys. Ian's one of those guys. You know, Yuki went in this weekend and played with Hampus and Nellis and did a really good job. He brings quickness and speed to that line. He's practicing better too with those guys. He's scoring a bit more in practice, and that needs to carry over in games. But it's a challenge right now to find some opportunities for some guys who are deserving of it. And again, you know, you root for Brendan McKay to keep playing and to keep growing his role, but you're also rooting for Miro and Ian to get their opportunity and to take advantage of it. So it doesn't work in a bubble, you know, and you can't talk your way into lineup. You have to earn it every day. And, you know, we hope we can find some chances to get those guys the shot they deserve.
Well, you got Northern Michigan this weekend, two games, Damon and, you know, you're ranked 20th in the nation right now, into the top 20, one of four WCHA teams. A pretty good weekend coming out of Bowling Green. Played really well both games, I thought. And good luck this weekend, and we'll have another show next week.
No, thank you. And no, I mean, make sure if you're listening, come on out. It'll be a great weekend of hockey, and you can get maybe a couple laps at intermission to get the turkey worked off. But no, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Again, you know, certainly our fans who are welcoming our players into their homes, we really appreciate that. But just want to, you know, thank everybody for their support and wish them a great holiday. And then we hope we see you all Friday night.
Well, we did have trouble with our feed tonight on the internet. We had a lot of people letting us know that they couldn't pick it up on the internet, but I don't know what happened there. But we will have a podcast of this show. Matt will get it up tomorrow, so you can tell folks out of town they can listen to the program anytime they want by just hooking through the Sovereign Communications or the Lake Superior State websites. And that's a show. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll talk to you next Tuesday night on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.